We welcome back to our studios 3rd Congressional District candidate, David P. Hibner from North Platte, who's been travailing the country, all 80 counties, and you were telling me you've been to each of them at least twice and working on 3 times here before the primary approaches, huh?
That's right. Yeah, good morning, Corey. Good morning, North Platte and Lincoln County. It's great to be with you all again, and we've put on about 110,000 road miles in our 3rd Congressional District.
That's a lot. That's a lot. You've had a few, needed a few oil changes on your vehicle.
Then. Yes, absolutely. We're going to need, we might need a new vehicle.
New tires.
Yes, yeah, 2 sets of tires, countless oil changes.
For sure. Obviously, you want to give shout-outs in regard to the firefighters and responders on these fires. They deserve a lot of kudos. And
they do.
I don't think anyone can imagine what it would be like, especially in those canyons. There's rattlesnakes, and it's not just the fires. They've been worried about getting bit by rattlesnakes, but just a tremendous effort to get this thing finally to the point where it's almost 100% contained.
Yes, yes, this is historic. As we all know, this is a big one. And before I talk about me, I always try to preface my conversations with talking about those who serve us. And our firefighters have been at it. They've been at war for 2 weeks. This is a big one. And so I couldn't be more grateful to what they've done and every single volunteer that's donated water or food or their time logistically. It's all been a blessing. And that's the Nebraska way. We're all helping each other.
We always come through, you know, they always talk about the song, you know, we all come together in all kinds of weather. I mean, this, you know, this is a disaster situation. Everybody does their part, you know.
That's right.
You know, that's a great thing. That's a good thing that comes out of this. You also wanted to give thanks to our troops that are battling for us over in the Middle East.
Let's keep them front of mind. It's going to get harder before it gets easier. Watch the news and just see we're going into maybe the next phase this weekend. And there are troops on the way. I want to see this be as brief as possible. And I think the administration does too. The American people certainly do. But it is going to get a little real this weekend, I think.
And then, of course, the situation that's been brought out by all the long lines at airports, too, with the DHS folks not getting paid because of the stalemate in Congress. And that's sad to see, but it is reality. So definitely want to thank those that are going without pay that are continuing to work despite that.
We have federal employees right here in North Platte. We have federal employees right here in our 3rd District that are going without pay, and they're showing up to work. Our TSA folks at the North Platte Airport and every other regional airport in the district are working for free, going on a month and a half. So I've been there. I've been in those shoes as a Border Patrol agent. It is not fun wondering as a young man or as a young woman when how are you going to pay your bills when the cell phone bill comes, a mortgage, a car payment. And they're doing it right here in town. So we need to owe them some gratitude and some patience, and we need to urge our leaders to get it together.
Right. Figure something out so they can start getting their paychecks.
Yes.
Again, it's just ridiculous. But anyway, what are you hearing most as you travel around the district?
You know, it continues to be encouraging, but I'm hearing most that the timing is right. The timing is right. I am challenging a 20-year incumbent for our seat who wishes to make it 22 years. And as respectfully as possible, as a constituent, that is one of the big reasons I'm running. It is time for fresh energy, fresh leadership. And if I can add some perspective from the ag side, from the Border Patrol side, from the small business side, I certainly want to and will. And that's been received so well. But folks are excited. May 12th is coming up quick. And early voting is only about 2 weeks away.
Right. And a lot of people, more and more people, take advantage of that. I always try to get done the week before there. So
yes.
I don't So, you know, avoid if something comes up on election day, not being able to get to the poll for some reason. So that's the reason I do it. There's just so many things that we could touch on, but, you know, we've talked about, you know, your spiritual commitment and that side of things too. That's really what guides you in decision making and will motivate you if elected, right?
That's right. We are we are the ranked as the second most conservative population in the entire U.S. House. That's out of 435 populations all across the country.
Where's the first at?
It's Amarillo, Texas.
No kidding. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense.
We deserve number one, I tell you. But we are one of the top. And I want to match that tenacity, that conservatism as a representative. I want to reflect that in a truly, truly conservative voting record.
How will that play out, though? I mean, a lot of people hear that and say, that sounds good, but how would that play out in practical terms? I mean, how would you approach that once, if you get elected and go to Washington? Because I mean, there's a pretty steep learning curve, I'm sure.
That's right. Yep, that's right. So folks will hear a lot about losing our seniority, losing our committee memberships. And I say, if you're sending a strong candidate, and 87% of America wants term limits, but if we're sending a strong candidate, then we can be at ease. As a new guy, I'll work as hard as I can wherever I'm put, and I will serve Nebraska through that. I'm an out-of-the-box kind of guy. But it is a conservative voting record, no matter what the colleagues up there may think. It is keeping Nebraska front of mind, not the Beltway, not the swamp, not the interests that they have, the special interests that they have up there. And as somebody that's had their feet wet up there, and I understand how that town works, it's very beautiful on the surface and very ugly under the surface. I'm ready for it. And so you work hard as a freshman, you get to where you need to be on the committees after a couple of years, and you just stay in line and on track with that conservative voting record. So with that, that includes spending. That includes the social issues, our faith, our family, our heritage. I think we have ground to make up on those things. There's never been a time like this where we've been under attack on those social issues. So you'll see me take a very active role in preserving, defending, and advocating for those things.
How, you know, if we have a change and you're elected, what would people notice the most, do you think, in the way you handle things in Washington compared to our current representative?
You know, I'm going to stay grounded right here in our district. I'm going to stay visible. I've got things going on here that I love. I've got a wonderful, wonderful family who will live here, and I'm just going to commute there. I think that is so important. So you stay grounded in your home district. You continue to be visible. You continue to communicate, and you continue to work very hard for the folks, for your friends and neighbors all across these 80 counties. You can't lose sight of that. You can't become someone else once you swear in and once you move up there. You really have to be, as I like to say, a servant leader. So for me, I'm just wired very differently as a candidate. I'm the kind of guy that'll jump on a fire truck. I'm a hands-on kind of guy. You'll see me take that approach to Washington, and I believe that'll help me stay grounded with the people that work day in and day out here in the district.
A lot of times they talk about making deals that you have to give. You have to maybe go against your principles a little bit to get something, you know, that might be looked at by most people as something that benefits, that's beneficial to people. But from what you've told me, there'll be certain principles that you will not budge on, that will guide you in that process of legislation that might be 98% good, but you can't abide by something and may not go along with it because of it, right?
100%. Yes, that is it. I will absolutely draw a line in the sand for our pro-life stance. I will 100% draw a line in the sand for border security and for the Second Amendment. again, we've got to send people who have their hearts right to Washington, D.C. We've got to send people who have a backbone. You will see me vote no with our most conservative House Republicans, and they do it every single time. There are good people doing it. There are folks that are saying, no, we will not vote on this bill, even though it is 99% good, if it has provisions for blue districts across the country. That is not something I will compromise on. I would rather be the lone no vote on something that would involve transgender surgeries or abortion than say yes in order to appease a party or even to appease the White House.
Yeah. In other words, you answer to a higher authority. So.
Exactly. Yes. I answer to God in the third district and my 3-year-old Matthew.
Yeah. So for sure. agriculture is such a big thing for this district, yes. and obviously with these wildfires, it brings to light the devastation and how it's going to set people back that have suffered from this. But I'm sure that'll be probably A1 priority for you, is legislation that concerns benefiting people in this district. What do you help to promote if you're elected?
You know, there is a lot of good ground to move on there. Agriculture is number one for us. That supplies everything else in our district, and we are the largest ag district in the U.S. House by dollar value. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of being an ag producer. So I want to meet with the farmers in the field. I want to meet with the cattlemen at their bull sales, be a direct conduit, cut out the lobbyists, and get the work done. So that involves mandatory beef labeling. As long as we have 2 out of our 4 beef packers owned by Brazil, we will never get an American flag made and raised in the USA on our beef. That has to be mandatory. We have to force them to do that. On the row crop side, the 45Z tax credits that went right through the Ways and Means Committee last summer, those are going to the ethanol boardrooms and not to the corn growers who need them most. Those guys have been operating for 5 years at a loss. We have record farm debt in the nation right now, and we have heartbreaking bankruptcies in the 3rd District because they can't stay afloat because of Washington. 5 years is too long for somebody to try to hold on. And you'll see me work very hard on E15. That has been kicked around for 10 years in Congress. Let's get a bulldog in there. Let's get it done. We should be leading on that. If that can boost, and some studies show, if it can boost the price of a bushel by 94 cents, so we'll say almost a dollar, that's enough to get the guys and gals in the clear, these family farms, and to save them. There has to be urgency on these things.
You're talking about allowing year-round
yes.
at the pump, C15.
Yes. So yes.
Ethanol producers, obviously, that would benefit them, and they can just go whole hog on producing that, right?
Yes. So that would... That would, of course, yes, that would be not mandatory but voluntary for any consumer that would want to purchase that.
Right.
So that is a short-term way to get more money into the pockets of our ag producers. And just like it is for my kids as an ag producer, if prices aren't fair, if they aren't high enough to meet the rising inputs, then people are going to find other professions and our kids will continue to move away. So it is so important to me for my own family, but for everyone else's family as well, to make sure that I'm finding policies that will pay our producers all over the ag spectrum for their hard work.
We're visiting with 3rd District Congressional candidate David Hibner on Mugs in the Morning. You had mentioned before, too, when I brought up the subject of lobbyists and not being influenced by them, shall we say. I think that's, if I could do one thing to clean up the swamp, as it's known, it would be just outlined, just making it, you know, I don't know how you'd do that, but I think that's a problem, the big problem in how, because it seems like you can buy votes, basically, just say, we'll contribute so much money to your campaign, but then they expect you to vote what isn't there, what they feel is their best interest, and I know you'll refuse, Saul.
I'm not going to be a popular guy. That's right. I won't be a popular guy in D.C. because We are tired of that. We are tired of that as a people in Nebraska. We're tired of that as a people in America. We don't want politicians campaigning for lobby dollars and corporate dollars. We want politicians campaigning. We want leaders campaigning to the voters. And that might sound so basic, but that is really where we're at.
We'd be a lot better off if everybody else had that approach, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And that is what we're doing. We're going to meetings all across the district. We're going to church events, ag events. We're going everywhere the voters are and not going and pandering to the special interest dollars. Mm-hmm. A guy can do it. I'm doing it. The polls are showing it. The momentum is showing it. And if anywhere in the country can do it, we should be able to do it right here in our third district.
Yep. You talked about agriculture. What would be a close second to that that you would like to see happen if elected?
You know, the H.R. 928, that's our rail safety bill. That is our federal two-man train crew bill. That one enhances the wheel defect detectors. It enhances and compels the DOT, the federal DOT, to monitor our tanker cars much better, much more safely. That is how we keep an East Palestine spill from happening right here in North Platte. Bad things are always going to happen, but you have to stay ahead of it in safety, and rail often gets left behind. Mm-hmm. That's an easy bill that should be co-sponsored. Currently, it's not. I will lead the charge on things like that. We obviously have wonderful railways all across the district, but that's an easy one to protect jobs and enhance safety.
Okay. As we wind down our time together this morning, what do you want to emphasize and leave folks with as a thought of the day or something to think about as they, for people especially on the fence, you know, because there is this thing that says, you know, in regards to Adrian being there and that experience, that does have a lot of weight to it. But people that like what you're saying and say, oh boy, you know, I don't know if I can, you know, get in the voting booth and change my vote to that regard, what would you say to them?
You know, I would say that the founding fathers never intended this to be a career. We are supposed to continuously send our most energetic, our best, our brightest, and this is not a lifetime appointment. We need to send folks that know and have the restraint that it's time for other folks mm-hmm. to go, that there are other ideas, that no one person has all the answers. I would say to folks on the fence that are concerned about seniority, I would say look at the 87% of Americans that want term limits. I would say do your research. Is your life better? What are your favorite accomplishments from Adrian? Has he produced and helped you in your life be better? Does he merit 22 years? And that is so important. And anybody over time will lose their edge. And you will see me co-sponsored term limits because I think we need those safety rails there. Mm-hmm. Those bumper guards have to be there. And if someone is talented, they will find their way to the governorship, to the U.S. Senate. They will find a way to help in the private sector or with a nonprofit. They will move on and keep mm-hmm. doing good things.
A lot of good things here. And if people want more information, they can obviously go to your website, David P. Huebner, and Huebner is spelled Huebner.com, and have a lot of good things on your website. And can they get a hold of you? You want to give out your number, or you just want to leave it at that? And
you know,
with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Folks can they can call me anytime. It is 308-208-9453. Message me on.
There you go. That's a stand-up guy that's willing to give his personal number there for people who have questions. I like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Send me messages online through Facebook, through the website, and we are receiving a very, very high volume, so be patient with me, but I will work very hard to communicate with everyone.
Okay. Thanks, David, for coming in this morning, and good luck.
Thank you, Corey.